Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, if you turn there in your Bibles. Glad to be here this morning, and I'm also glad that it's cold this morning. Got up and looked at the news. It was in the low in the 30s and the high in the 40s, and I thought, that's just great. I'm really excited about that, because this is the morning I wanted to tell you we need help over in Hawaii. And the low in Hawaii is, I think, 72, and the high in Hawaii is about 82. So where would you rather be? If you're interested in coming out to Hawaii, maybe on a summer program, we'd be glad to talk to you about that. You're not going to come on vacation, I'll guarantee you that. We might not even give you a chance to see the beach. We'll put you to work, but you'll have some great work to do. And it's an opportunity to go to a mission field without leaving America. You don't have to have a passport. You don't have to learn a new language, but you can have the opportunity to work with 28 different nationalities in our church, and a lot of opportunity to learn what it's like to be on a mission field in many ways and yet not have to have the difficulty of getting there. And it'll be good preparation if you're considering missions. We're also in need of people to come out and establish churches in Hawaii. There's a great need on islands. There's whole islands without a church at all. There's whole areas of the island without a church. We have, if you add up all of the fundamental works in Hawaii, and you can broaden that definition out as far as you can, we're still reaching less than 0.01% of the island. There's a great need. It is paradise, folks, but it is paradise lost. And there's a great opportunity, great need out there. So if you're interested, please see me about that. I'd be glad to tell you more about the islands and the need that is there. Philippians chapter 4, and verses 8 and 9, familiar verses. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we pray this morning as we open your word that you would open it to our hearts and to our lives and to our minds. We pray that we would think upon these things, that you would help us to deposit these things in our lives so that we might be able to draw upon the peace and the power of God. And so this morning, Father, we pray that you would challenge us with your word and the thoughts of these things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This verse, verse number 8, at the end of the verse, it says to think on these things. And that word think in the Greek is an accounting term. It means to place on account. It means to deposit these things. And that's what we need to do, is we need to make these spiritual deposits in our lives in order to draw upon the peace and the power of God. Getting saved is like establishing a checking account. You can go down to just about any bank and open a checking account for free. There's no charge. There's no cost. All you have to do is to open the account and to sign the paperwork, and you've got an account there at the bank. And that's like getting saved. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 23 that the scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, which is the same word, unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And we start by establishing an account with God in the bank of heaven to deposit our soul with him. And you've got to have an account in order to make deposits. After you open the account, then you start making deposits, but you've got to have an account. I read the story about a lady who went to a bank, and she wasn't a real well-to-do lady. In fact, it was very obvious she was kind of didn't have a lot of money. And she went to the bank, and she went up to the teller, and she gave her money that she had, just this wad of money, and the teller looked at that, and she gave her a deposit slip, and the teller looked at the deposit slip and says, ma'am, we can't accept your money. And she said, well, why can't you accept my money? She was getting kind of upset because a lot of people treated her like she wasn't worth anything, and she didn't have any value, and she was kind of upset. This bank wouldn't even take her money. She says, why can't you take my money? It's as good as anybody else's money. And she got kind of loud and kind of upset, and the bank teller said, ma'am, would you please settle down for just a moment? The reason we can't take your money is because you don't have an account in this bank. Your account is a bank across the street. And you know, in Matthew chapter 7, And verses number 21 through 23, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And, you know, I can go down to, what is it called, the Fifth Third Bank. Only North Carolina can you have the Fifth Third Bank. And I can go down to the Fifth Third Bank or the Third Fifth Bank, whatever it is, and I can say, I want to give you some money, and I can give them all the money I want to give them, but if I don't have an account, then it's not going to do me good. And you know what? You can do all kinds of good works, and you can do all kinds of great things, but if you haven't established an account with God through Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's worth nothing. And you cannot make a deposit until you first establish an account. And I hope that you have established an account with the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know you're doing a lot of good things here at Bible College, but they're not any good if you haven't established that account with Jesus Christ, first of all. You know, we have learned here recently you can't always trust banks, can you? Some banks have closed down. And that's why I'm glad that my bank is FDIC insured, you know, and I'm also glad that I am FDIC insured for my soul. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, God has insured my soul for all eternity. It's FDIC insured, which means forever depending in Christ. It is Jesus Christ. It is not the church that I have to depend on. Churches can fail. It's not religion I have to depend on. Religion can fail. But you know, I'm not dependent on men because men can fail, but I'm depending, forever depending in Jesus Christ. I'm insured for all eternity. But you know, opening an account is not enough. And some of you young people need to learn this. After you open the account, then you have to maintain the account. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. As a pastor, you deal with many things, not just spiritual things. And one of the things I deal with quite often is couples who are in financial trouble and young people that are in financial trouble. And they come to me for counsel. What am I going to do? And it is amazing to me how many people don't know how to maintain a simple checking account. How many people I say, well, what's your balance? What's a balance? How much money do you have in the bank? I don't know. I still got checks in my checkbook. Is that good? And, they have no idea how to maintain their checking account. You know what is amazing to me is how many young people, even Christian young people in a Bible college, have no idea how to maintain their Christian life. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You see, these things are good and profitable unto men. If you've got a checking account, you need to maintain that checking account on a regular basis. You can't let it go for weeks and weeks and months and expect to be able to handle your money. You've got to constantly be maintaining it, to balance it, to check it, to make sure that you've got the deposits in there to cover the withdrawals. And the same thing is true of the Christian life. It's not something that just happens. It's not something you can depend on the bank. You can't depend on the bank to take care of your checking account for you. And you can't depend on this college to take care of your Christian life. You can't depend upon your church to take care of your Christian life. You have to maintain the Christian life. You have to maintain those good works for yourself. Now, here's something that some people haven't quite learned yet. Go over to James chapter 2, if you would. James chapter 2. And that is this. If you have a checking account, now listen carefully, because this is going to bring some great theological truth that will help you through your life. If you have a checking account, if you want to make withdrawals, you have to make deposits. Have you figured that out yet? There's an amazing number of people I haven't figured out. If I want to take money out of my checking account, I have to put money into my checking account. The checking account is free. That's salvation. But after you establish your checking account, you've got to start making deposits. In James chapter 2 and verses 23 through 24, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Go down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We need to realize that being saved without making deposit of these things in our lives is an empty salvation. Like an empty checking account when you don't make deposits. You've got to make the deposits. Now, I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God, and I believe in the preservation of the King James Bible, but would you allow me to give you a little bit different translation of verse number 6? And we could say it this way, as the account without money is not sufficient, so faith without works is dead also. You know, if you've got a checking account with no money in it, you're going to get little paper in the mail from your bank saying insufficient funds.
And if you're a Christian and you're not making the positive of these things that the Bible talks about in Philippians 4:8, then your Christian life is not going to be sufficient. You see, after we're saved, we got to do the work of putting money into our account, putting spiritual deposits into our spiritual account. And we need to make the deposits if we want to make the withdrawals. Now, what are the withdrawals? Go back to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse number 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In verse number 9, it says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You see, if I want to draw upon the peace and the power of God in my life, then I have to make the deposits. I cannot write a check if I haven't made deposits. I cannot go to the ATM machine and take money out of my account if I haven't made deposits. And how do I expect to draw upon the peace and the power of God if I do not make the deposit, the spiritual deposits of these things in my life? Now, what are these deposits? If you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, it tells us what we need to deposit. It says, whatsoever things are true. The word true here means not counterfeit. And that's what we need to do, is we need to deposit those things that are not counterfeit. You know, I've got a couple $20 bills here in my wallet, and I've got one that's right here, and I've got one that's right here. These are both $20 bills. Now, which one would you rather have? I think most of you would rather have this one over here, because this one over here is just Monopoly money. Now, they're both $20 bills. The difference is Monopoly says this is $20. The government says this is $20. You see, what makes the difference here is who says it's worth $20. You see, what makes the difference in my life is God has said I'm worth something to Him. You see, my value, this is just a piece of paper, folks. In and of itself, as a piece of paper, it has no value. The only thing that gives it the value of $20 is that the government has said so. In and of myself, I have no value. The only thing that gives me value is because God says so. You see, that's where my value comes in. And by the way, this value is a floating standard. Years ago, we had what was called the gold standard, which meant that this was worth $20 of gold in Fort Knox. But they quit doing that. Now it's a floating standard. The value of this $20 bill changes from day to day. That's what's happening in our market right now. It's not worth as much as it was a few months ago. It's up and down. You know, there's a lot of Christians that have a floating standard. One day their value is up for God, and the next day it's down. It's a constant floating standard based upon the circumstances in their life at that moment. That's what's the problem with our economy right now. Our money is based upon the circumstances, what's going on around it. And it's constantly up and down like a roller coaster. And you know, there's some Christians that are on that kind of roller coaster life, riding their life. You need to have value to God. You know, they just recently redesigned our money. And if you will hold your money up to a light and look at it like this, you'll see down here in this corner, the hidden man. It is a copy of the picture that's on that bill is hidden in the bill over here to keep it from being counterfeited very easily. You know what makes the difference in your life and my life? The hidden man of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible." Folks, it's the hidden man, it's the Holy Spirit in our life that gives us our value. And we need to be true, not counterfeit. I know as well as you know, there are young people in this Bible college that are counterfeit. They are not living a true standard of Jesus Christ. Oh, in front of the rest of the faculty, in front of others, they do. But when they're off by themselves, they're counterfeit Christians. They're not living under the control of the hidden man of Jesus Christ. And then it says, whatsoever things are honest. The word honest is the idea of having value, of having value. You and I, our only value comes in Jesus Christ. We are nothing. We are zeros. And a zero in and of itself has no value. What gives a zero value is where you put the one. If you put the one in front of the zero, it makes it worth 10. If you put the one behind the zero has no value. You can cross the zero out, you can erase the zero, it makes no difference. Your value depends on whether you put God first in your life or not. When God is first in your life, you have value. But when you do not put God first in your life, you have no value. You see, it all depends on where we put God in our life. How much value do you have? You know, by the way, the more zeros you put after a one, the greater the value, right? Wouldn't you rather have two zeros after a one in a check than one zero? Would you like to have three zeros? The more zeros you put after that one, the more value it has. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's when we have value. We have value by coming together. Now, I have two jars of money up here. You may have noticed them. And each of them are about equally full, has about the same amount of coins inside there. But there's a big difference here. This jar is mostly full of pennies. And it has a value of about $14.50-something. This jar has got quarters and dimes and nickels and even a couple of dollar bills as well as some pennies. And this jar is worth about $40. Big difference. Which jar would you rather have? The one with $40, wouldn't you? Now, I'm not giving it away. Don't get excited. But you'd rather have the one with $40. Now, folks, you can go into a church and have the same number of people, and there's a big difference. What is the difference? The preacher? No. It's the people. I believe the power of any given church service is dependent as much or more on the people in the congregation than it is on the preacher in the pulpit. You see, where two or three are gathered together, we increase the value. Let me ask you something. When you came into chapel this morning, were you a penny, a nickel, dime, or a quarter? You see, I put 10 quarters in. That's a lot more value than 10 pennies. If I put 10 dimes in there, it's more value than 10 nickels. You see, you either add to the value of that church service or you take away from it. I'd rather have a whole jar full of quarters than a whole jar full of pennies. And in my church, I want a jar full of dollar Christians. I want people that are going to come that are going to add to the service and the value of that service. And young people, let me ask you a question. Do you add to the value of Ambassador Baptist College? Do you add to the value of the church that you attend? Our value is how much we add to when we go there. In and of ourselves, we're just nothing. The only thing that gives us value is where we put God in our lives. Is God first in your life? And it says, whatsoever things are just. The word just is the idea of using right judgment. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 57, it says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? Many times I'll see young people in Christian college that don't have enough money to pay their school bill, but they seem to have enough money to buy coffee all the time. They don't have enough money to pay their debts, but they have enough money to go out and buy brand new this, that, or the other thing. You see, you got to start using right judgment. Not only right judgment in your financial decisions, but right judgment in other decisions in your life as well. A lot of people are in a financial mess today because they did not use good judgment in how they handled their money. And a lot of Christians are in a spiritual mess today because they did not use good judgment in how they made spiritual decisions. Whatsoever things are pure. The word pure means to be clean. 1 Timothy 3:3, it says that we're not to be greedy of filthy lucre. You know, money is filthy. It really is. It's full of germs. They did a test on money, and they found that the average money carries the germs that cause TB, meningitis, pneumonia, and E. coli. Do you know when we take an offering in a Baptist church, we are doing public service to the health of our nation? I mean, we are so helpful. We want to get rid of all that germ-causing money. Get it out of your hands. Bank tellers, if you go to the bank, most bank tellers nowadays, they have that antibiotic wash that they use on their hands because they're handling money all the time. It's dirty. It's filthy. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, keep thyself pure. We handle money all the time. We're handling filthy stuff all the time. We live in a dirty world. We live in a filthy world. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes looking for you. It's there everywhere you go. You can't get away from it. We can't get away from money. We have to use money. And we can't get out of this world. We're living in this world. We don't have to be of the world, but we're living in a filthy world. Did you ever notice something? Did you ever notice that the higher the denomination of the bill, the cleaner it is? Did you ever notice that? It's because it's not used as much. You know, a $100 bill at Ambassador Baptist College, nobody hardly ever touches that, especially students. But $1 bills, they're going all over the place. The higher the denomination of bill, the cleaner it stays. The higher your standards, the cleaner you'll stay. You see, when we don't have high standards, we get dirty faster. Keep your standards high, but also, by the way, keep them holy. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to keep them holy, not H-O-L-Y only, but W-H. We got to have that holy. My wife lets me have money every now and then, cash, not too much. And the other day, I got a $100 bill. I forget how I got it. I used an illustration, and she gave it to me to use an illustration. And after I was all done with the illustration, she took it away from me. And the reason she took it away from me is because I have a tendency to spend money. And if it's in my wallet, and if it's not in my wallet, I don't spend it. But you know, I found this. I can carry like a $100 bill around for quite a while. But when I use it, even though I use it only to buy something for a dollar, still got $99. When I use it to buy something for a dollar, all of a sudden it's just gone. When you break it, it goes fast. When you keep it whole, it's easier to hold on to. You know, what happens to a lot of us is we break our standards, just a little one. Just a little compromise. Well, I'm just going to look at this. I'm just going to go here. I'm going to listen to this. And it's a little compromise. It's not much. But once we break the standard, it's like it's all gone. Keep your standards holy. Don't break them. Keep them intact. And by the way, if I had a whole stack of $100 bills, say $1,000 in $100 bills, and I were to walk around, I don't know what the bad section of town is, but let's say I go into the bad section of town, walk around counting my money like this out in front of me at night. How long would I hold on to that? Not very long. You will not hold on to your standards when you go places you ought not to be. You go on that internet in a place you ought not to be, you'll lose your standards. You go downtown and go somewhere where you shouldn't be, you'll lose your standards. You got to keep them holy. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. The idea of the word lovely is what we respond towards. I love my wife, and I see her, and I respond to her because I love her. And it's what we respond towards. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As I came in with this money today, I noticed a lot of people looking at me a little closer. I got about a lot better response coming today than I did yesterday. You start taking money out. My church, I use money as an illustration quite often, and I'll give away dollar bills, $5. I've even given away $20 bills in church. And you know, when I start preaching and using money as an illustration, more people sit up front. They start moving up because they respond to that. Hey, I want a $20 bill, you know? How many of you would like to have a $20 bill? I can give this away right now. How many would like to have a $20 bill? See Brother Smith right after the service. He'll help you out there, all right? What do you respond to? See, the sad thing is, it takes a $20 bill to move somebody up the front row rather than the Word of God. If I were to announce on Saturday morning, we're going to give away $20 bills to all the students to show up, would you show up? If I were announced on Saturday morning, we're going to go out soul winning, would you show up? What do you respond to? Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. You know what's not a good report? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand on this one. But have you ever gotten a nice little letter in the mail from your bank with the letters NSF stamped on the front of it? You know what that means? Non-sufficient funds. I don't have to tell you, do I? It's happened, hasn't it? That's not a good report. Have you ever gone into a store where they take those checks that have been returned by the bank and post them up behind the counter for everybody to see? That's kind of embarrassing if it's your check, isn't it? By the way, again, sad thing is I've seen some Bible college students, some pastors' checks in places like that. Ought not to be. Ought not to be. Don't write a check for what you can't cover. That's a bad testimony. It's not a good report. But you know, I've had people write bad checks to the church. We get them back from the bank. What would you think if I, as a pastor, stuck those up on the wall in the foyer of our church? But how often do we give bad reports about other people through gossip? How often do we give bad reports about other people through prayer requests? Pray for so-and-so. They're having financial trouble. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. I told our church treasurer, a check comes back from the bank. We put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, put the person's name on it, put it in their mail slot. We have these mail slots where we pass out things to people in the church, and we never say another word about it. We do not send it through the bank a second time. We do not harass them for it. We just love them. And folks, people are going to do things to you that you're going to need to love them for. Charity will cover a multitude of sins. What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue. The word virtue means excellence, to fulfill its purpose. In Ephesians 2:10, we know verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you know why God saved you? He has a purpose for your life. Are you fulfilling his purpose? You see, we need to fulfill the purpose. You ever heard the statement, a penny saved is a penny earned? Well, a soul saved by grace is a soul that ought to earn it by its works. Again, I know clearly we're not saved by our works, but you know what? Because God saved me by grace, I ought to work every way I can for Him. I ought to fulfill His purpose in my life. Then it says, if there be any praise. Go over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I asked you earlier if you ever gotten one of those NSF things. You know, as soon as you bounce a check, as soon as you mess up on your checking account, the bank's quick to tell you, are they not? I mean, right away, there's a letter in the mail telling you you got a problem here. They're quick to tell you when you've done something wrong. Have you ever in your life gotten a letter from the bank that said something like this? This notice is to inform you that your checking account is being credited with $15 because you did not bounce a check. Have you ever in your life gotten a letter like that? Do you know anybody's ever gotten a letter like that? Does the bank praise you because you don't bounce checks? No. Look at Luke chapter 17. Look at verse number 7. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, here in Bible college, you can be thinking, look at me. Yeah, so? Good. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You expect people to praise you for that? You expect people to stand up and applaud for that? Do your duty. You have a checking account? Maintain your checking account. Don't bounce checks. You have a spiritual account with God? Maintain your spiritual account. Do what's right. We need to deposit these things. Our country, our nation, our churches are morally and spiritually bankrupt today because they stopped depositing these things. The reason we're in trouble economically in America today is because we stopped saving and we started spending. And we spent more than we saved. And the reason we are bankrupt in our churches today is because we are spending and we are not saving. We are not doing what God wants to do. We're not depositing these things. You've got an account. But an account without deposits is spiritually dead. Now, it's not enough to have made deposits. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, and verse number 13, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." You know, every once my wife will come to me and says, "Honey, you need to get some money deposited in the bank." And I say, "Well, we just deposited 2 weeks ago." That's all gone. See, you got to keep depositing. If you want to keep withdrawing, you got to keep depositing. But here's the problem with a lot of people. They deposit as they need it. You ever know anybody like that? They write a check and then they run to the bank and put money in to cover it. And a lot of Christians, that's the way they live the Christian life. And the problem is, what are you going to do when those problems come up you don't expect? You need to keep a balance in your account. You need to keep ahead. You need to make the deposit so when the need comes, you have the power of God already deposited. You have the peace of God already there waiting for you to draw upon. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse number 17. It says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Don't you like interest-bearing accounts? They pay you money to use your money. You know, God is so good. He gives us interest on our account. He gives us profit for doing nothing but just loving Him. So you got to make deposits in order to make withdrawals. There's different ways you can draw money out of your account. You can do it by a debit card. I have a couple of cards in my wallet. I've got this one here, which is a debit card, and I've got this one here, which is a credit card. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the love chapter, says that charity thinketh no evil. That word thinketh, again, is the same term, to deposit no evil. And the idea does not hold evil on account. See, the difference between these two cards right here, if I go down the store and buy something, they'll say debit or charge. Now, if it's a charge card, then when they slide it through the machine, it charges to my account, and that is going to come due 30 days later. And if I don't pay it, they're going to start charging me interest on it. If I use a debit card, when they slide it through the machine, immediately it takes money out of my account. And the difference is this, is that in our Christian life, we need to deal with things now, not later. See, we have a problem with somebody. Instead of dealing with that problem, we put it off, and it just gets worse. We have sin in our lives. Instead of dealing with that sin, we just put it off, and it just keeps getting worse. And it builds interest. You know, when you get your charge, if you got a charge account, when you get your bill, it has two things you can pay. You can pay it in full, or you can pay the minimum payment. Do you know what happens if you pay the minimum payment? You still owe it next month. All you're doing is paying the interest, basically. And for a lot of us, you know what we do spiritually? We just keep paying the interest on our sin. Oh, we'll come to the altar and we'll confess it, we'll deal with it, but it's like we just took care of it for today because we know we're going to do it again tomorrow. We got a problem with somebody. We don't deal with the problem. We have a big fight and we make up, but the problem's still there. I tell my couples all the time, if you're married, have you ever had a fight with your wife or your husband and after you got done fighting, you said, "Why did we fight over that?" You didn't fight over that. If I go down the store today and I charge something on my charge card and they deny it, they're not denying it because of the $5 that's sitting on the counter. They're denying it because of the $5,000 I haven't paid back yet. I'm overdrawn. And a lot of times our problems, because we keep building up these things we never resolve in our life, whether it's with that other person or whether it's with God. And we're just constantly paying the interest on our sin instead of dealing with it. God wants us to deal with it now, not later. Debit, not charge. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes it, they shall have mercy." Deal with it now. Some of you have got some sin in your life you've been paying interest on for months, but you haven't resolved it. Some of you got problems with a roommate or a spouse or a parent, whoever else it might be, that you've never resolved, and you just keep paying interest on it. You need to get it dealt with. But the other way you can take money out of your checking account is to write a check. A check basically is a promissory note. You are promising the person that you are writing the check to that they can get this money. I'd like Brother Smith, if you'd write me a check right now, okay? I want you to write a check out to me, and you write it for any amount as long as there's a lot of zeros on it, okay? And go ahead and write me a check. He's going to write me a check because he loves me. And so I'm going to ask him to write me a check. Now, he writes me that check. It's a promissory note. He's promised me if you take that check down to the bank will give you this amount of money. Now, if I just walked into the bank, what bank do you do business with?
USAA.
If I walked in there and I said, I am here in Dwight Smith's name to get $1,000, are they going to give it to me? Are they? No. I can't just walk in the bank and say, give me money in this person's name. You know, there's a lot of people that pray in Jesus' name that have no business doing it. And God's looking down saying, who are you? What right do you have to be here? But if I go to the bank of heaven with a check, a promissory note, I can claim that promise. I can come in Jesus' name because he's written it down for me. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is just a big checkbook. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 3 and 4. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. You see, he's got a check here for me, and I'm going to go ahead and thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And here's a check for me. Now listen, there's two things that are necessary for me to cash this check. Number one, I've got to believe. If this check is written out for $100,000, do you think he has that much in his checking account? Come on, he's an evangelist. They're all rich. You see, the first step is to believe. I used this as an illustration in church one time, and a guy in the church named Jim Craig wrote me a check for $10,000. You know where that check is? It's in my office. I've got it on display. Anybody walks in my office, you can see that check for $10,000. I never took it to the bank. You know why? Because I didn't believe he had it. And if he did have it, I didn't believe he wanted to give it to me. Another time, I used the same illustration. I asked another guy in the church, Brother Devenuto. I said, write me a check, brother. He wrote me a check for $200. After the service, I went to him and said, here's your check back, brother. And he said, no, Pastor, I want you to keep it. I want you to cash it. I said, you don't have to do that. It was just an illustration. He says, no, I appreciate it. I love you as my pastor. I want to give it to you as a love offering. I want you to cash that check. You come in my office today, you will not find that check anywhere. I took that check to the bank and I cashed it. Why? Because I believed him. I believed he had $200 and I believe he wanted to give me the $200. He convinced me of that. And I went to the bank and I said, I'm here in Brother Devenuto's name. Give me the money. And that, folks, is what the Bible means when it says to pray in Jesus' name. I believe a lot of prayers we pray, Jesus said, I didn't promise you that. And by the way, most checks you get are given to you because you did something. And most promises in the Bible are given to you because you did something. Philippians chapter 4:19 is a good example of that. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many times do you claim that verse? And God says, what are you doing here? You have no right to ask for this. Because if you read the context of that verse, he says, because you have given to missions again and again and again, my God shall supply all your need. And if you're not given to missions, you have no right to cast a check. That is a breaking of contract. If you wrote somebody a check and they didn't give you what you wrote the check for, you'd be going down there saying, that's a breach of contract. And God says, you can't pray for what you haven't done. You need to make sure that you have fulfilled the requirements if you want to claim the check, the promise. In John 14:13-14, it says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I shall do it. You see, you can't cash it until you meet the promise. But if you want to go in Jesus' name, make sure you have the check. Make sure you have the Bible promise. Then as we close, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse number 19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You need to reconcile your account. If you don't know this, I had a guy in the church. He came and he says, Pastor, I need your help on a budget. I said, well, how much money do you have in the bank? He says, I don't know. I said, when was the last time you balanced your account? And he said, 2 years ago. We were in trouble. And as Christians, we've got to constantly reconcile accounts with God. Now, my wife is the reconciler in the house because she's the detail person. I'm not a detail person. I work on the checking account to balance it. Well, it's within $27. That's close enough. She will spend 5 hours looking for that one penny that she's off. Now, that may be okay to just kind of say that's close enough in a checking account, but folks, it's not close enough with God. You say, well, I'm not doing too bad. I'm really not that far off from where God wants me to be. But God says, I want you to go to the penny spiritually. Some of you in this room, your attitude is, well, I'm pretty close to what I should be. It's just a little thing. It's not right with God. And God is telling you this morning, you need to reconcile accounts. You need to get it right down to the penny spiritually. In 2 Corinthians 3:8, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think, again, the same word, anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. My bank is not bankrupt. It's doing pretty good, in fact, back there in Hawaii. And if I bounce a check at my bank, is it because the bank ran out of money? No. Now, I know that's happening in some banks today, but basically, if your check bounces, it's not because the bank ran out of money. It's because you ran out of money in your account. Folks, God never runs short of blessings. The bank of heaven is full and overflowing. If you do the, you call upon the power of God and it's not there, if you seek the peace of God in your life and it's not there, if you're not seeing the blessings of God in your life, maybe it's because your account is empty and you need to fill it up. You need to fill it up. We're not sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency comes from God. We need to deposit these things. How's your spiritual bank account today? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray for these young people. I pray that the things that we've shared today would be helpful to them. I pray that they would look at their own account. And that today you would help them to balance accounts. There's some young people in this room that have let some little things go. And they need to get it to the penny. They need to get it right. There's some young people in this room who have broken their standards. Nothing really big, just something simple. But if they're not careful, it's all going to be gone before they know it. There are some young people in this room that are going to face a situation where they need the peace and the power and the blessings of God. And they're going to go to that spiritual bank account and they're going to find out it's empty because they haven't been making deposits. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the truth of this passage and that even in Bible college, we must think on these things. We cannot depend on the college to make the deposits for us. We cannot depend on our church. We cannot depend on others. But we have to make deposits to our own account. So I pray that you'd help us to do that today. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.